Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh-stravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Let's talk about the Arizona congressional race between Democrat Tom O'Halloran.
Tom O'Halloran, he is an incumbent congressman in Arizona, Democrat, and he's running against a woman named Wendy Rogers, but that's not really the point here. So apparently last week at Tom O'Halloran's campaign office, two young men came in, and they said they were college students, and they came with a jar of money, and they said, we would like to make a donation to the Tom O'Halloran campaign. And they're like, okay, cool. Give us your jar of money. They had about $39 in it. And they're like, can we get a receipt for this? And they're like, sure. And they're like, we're from the Northern Arizona University Communist Party, like young communists. Can you put that on the receipt? Like, they really wanted a receipt that basically said, I take money from communists, essentially, was like something they were like, I just need this receipt. So the second they were like really insisting on that, they knew they could smell some shit. They mm-hmm. knew some dumbness was going down. And the finance director for his campaign, Lindsey Coleman, was not here for the dumbness. She took the money, drove immediately to the local Republican like field office, and just there's like a video of it where she's like, "Hi, I had two young men who came in. They said their names were like something and something. They tried to donate money to our campaign, but I felt like something was wrong." She's like, oh, wait, there he is. And one of the guys in the campaign office, like, sees the camera and goes in the door. He gave a false name to them. They're like, oh, I think his name was Jose or something. And the guy's like, no, that's Oscar. Right. And they're like, okay, well, then Oscar came and said his name was this other thing. He's like, and that's illegal. So this is kind of where they're at now, where they're like resorting to the dumbest fucking tactics to try and get any kind of advantage. As we've seen, just with voter suppression is obviously the most aggressive one. But then it all trickles down to shit like this where you're like, hey, make it look like he took communist money or whatever. And like, are we living in the 50s? Like, right. Do you think that's going to swing your like race? I mean, I don't know all of the factors that are being weighed in this race that if somehow tying him to communism would do it. But it just felt like really odd and a sad attempt at trying to get one up on your opponent.
Yeah, what was their plan then? They were like going to run a smear campaign he takes money from communists.
I think quite literally, yes. Wow. And then they would be like, wait, those guys work for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And it's really sloppy. It's just
so brave of them then for pretending to be communists when they're actually Republicans. Brave.
I think, yeah, you're right. We're overlooking the real, right. the real heroes in this story, mm-hmm. not the finance director.
I wonder if they were dressed like Castro era guerrillas, like from like the 60s.
With a cigar
Cuban
in their mouth.
Revolution, yeah.
One guy's dressed like Che Guevara, and the other dude is Stalin or something.
And there is video that you can check that somehow got out of Lindsay Coleman, the finance director, just going in and being like, hey, we just had some. Oh, there he
yeah.
is.
It's so weird. And the guy immediately goes, yeah. And then walks into another room and closes the door and tries to hide.
One.
It's so bad. And then she's like, just so you know, it's illegal. Right. I'm going to probably tell the FEC and the police about this because this is nonsensical.
Yeah. The president was on 60 Minutes last night, came out of his Fox News hibernation for the past couple years where he did not talk to the mainstream media and only appeared on, you know, basically Trump-run media.
Yeah, home field advantage.
Yeah, he was enjoying a 2-year home field advantage. Came out on 60 Minutes, and people were kind of mixed on how it went. TV critics that I read basically everywhere said that, like, advantage Trump. He used his mastery over media to just... And then the things he did was just lie and, you know, bully her by speaking over her and not letting her get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, Leslie Stahl, I'll give her credit because she definitely would press him on answers because then, like, for example, like they were talking about climate change and she was like, well, what about the scientists? Like, well, you know, they say that maybe it's not changing. She's like, who is this they you're talking about? And he's like, people, you know, or whatever. And she's like, well, what about the scientists? Like, you know, she was definitely, she stood her ground, but I guess because he didn't like shit himself during the interview, it was a flawless victory, according to some people. I don't know. Though one of the most interesting things I saw was like in the beginning of the interview, I think at some point towards the beginning of the interview, they're walking through the White House and there's this photo hanging up that's Trump playing cards with like all
it's
the
a painting.
Past. Yeah. A painting, an oil painting, a gift from Daryl Issa of Trump playing cards with all these past Republican presidents. Fucking Abe Lincoln is even in it, like looking confused. He's like, I'm sorry, what is this? What is that you're drinking? And it looks like George W. Bush might have like a Han Solo type, like he might have his hand on his blaster underneath the table. Just interesting to know that that's the kind of art that we're putting in there, of right. like old timey, like the dogs playing poker photo.
Yeah, it's the picture. Equivalent of the dogs playing yeah. poker picture.
But yeah, they talked about all kinds of stuff. You know, once the pleasantries ended, there was a moment where, you know, she was interested about talking about Kim Jong-un because he's always talking about how North Korea is like over and it's not a threat anymore. But there's constant reports coming out that's like they're actually not disarming in any meaningful way. And then she was like, also, why do you keep saying you love this dude? He's a fucking monster. And this is one of the exchanges about Kim Jong-un.
Who presides over a cruel kingdom of repression, gulags, starvation. Reports that he had his half-brother assassinated, slave labor, public executions. This is a guy you love.
I know all these things. I mean, I'm not a baby.
I know
all these things.
Why do you love that guy?
Look. I get along with him, okay?
But you said love him.
Okay, that's just like a figure of speech.
No, it's like an embrace. Let
it be an embrace. Let it be whatever it is to get the job done.
He's a bad guy.
Look, let it be whatever it is. I get along with him really well. I have a good energy with him. I have a good chemistry with him. Look at the horrible threats that were made. No more threats. No more threats.
I don't know. It's so scary.
No more threats. It's like the guy, to me, it just points to like, there's a murder house in your neighborhood, right? And they used to just put a bunch of signs up. We're murdering people in here, right. And we love it. And now he's like, hey, but there's no more signs in the yard.
Yeah, right.
Right. They're still in the neighborhood,
hey,
but there's no more.
They painted the house.
They painted the house.
They got rid of the
yeah.
car in the front
yeah,
yard.
Yeah, there's still blood-curdling screams coming from there. But you know what? They're not advertising it.
Yeah. It's such a weird cop-out to explain, like, why his diplomacy has failed to, like, just get us any results. And then when he's just talking, I love him, that like, well, he was literally doing, he was like,
We have good energy. I mean, what's the problem? So that exchange, I think, illustrates one of the things people were saying, that like, it seemed like she was trying to get him on a technicality, like, well, why did you say you love him? And he's like, that's just a figure of speech, which I think, I don't know. I can see how that would be appealing to people who already like him, basically.
There's but plenty of stuff nitpicky to get him on.
Well, I think because, yeah. I think for the what they're seeing, if the optics aren't, oh my God, he just got gotted,
right,
then it's a flawless, the interview's a flawless victory.
Right, that's for sure.
If he's not doing like, well, I don't, you know, because he didn't backtrack on anything. And
or
I guess
like
that's
get up and walk out.
Right.
Right.
Which he's, you know, been known to do.
And that would have probably got him applause too. He's like, oh, yeah, such an unfair interview.
As a person who loves energy and crystals and all that kind of, and vibes, mm-hmm, I'm a vibes guy.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Oh, it really just really resonated with me when he's like, I've got a good energy with him. And I'm just like, you know, we have, and I'm just like, oh, I never can say that again.
Right. We got good vibes, man.
We got good vibes. Yeah. Oh, I'm like, Jesus. Oh, no. Like,
don't take vibes.
Don't take vibes.
No vibes. No vibes. Yeah. Then inevitably the conversation had to swing around towards Putin. And again, Trump, you know, he can't say a bad word about Vladimir because whatever he's got hanging over his head. And it was interesting. It was one of those moments that was kind of funny because normally he used to just cause headlines by when someone, like journalists, pressed him about, well, what do you think about their meddling or these assassinations? He'd be like, they never happened. They deny it. It's fine.
Right.
And this time he was sort of like trying to half acknowledge what all the intelligence people have been screaming in his face for 2 years. So this was another interesting soundbite regarding Vladimir.
Vladimir Putin. I think I'm very tough with him personally. I had a meeting with him, the two of us.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a very tough meeting, and it was a very good meeting.
Do you agree that Vladimir Putin is involved in assassinations? In poisonings?
Probably he is, yeah. Probably. I mean, I don't...
Probably?
Probably, but I rely on them. It's not in our country.
Okay, why not? They shouldn't do it. This is a terrible thing.
Of course they shouldn't do it. Okay, that's the only collision.
Do you believe that the Russians interfered in the 2016 campaign, election?
Well, they meddled, but I think China meddled too.
But why do you say China meddled?
And you want to know something?
Why do you say China? Why don't you just say the Russians meddled?
Because I think China meddled also. And I think, frankly, China
is
a bigger problem.
You're diverting the whole Russian thing.
I'm not doing anything.
You are.
I'm saying Russia, but I'm also saying China.
Oh, Leslie, credit to you for just trying to be like, this is wild, sir. You're really just doing this whataboutism shit.
They meddled. They didn't interfere. They meddled.
I'm sorry. Can you please get out your dictionary? What is meddling?
I do think that that's, again, like, smart from a, like, just slick appearances perspective, because meddling, for whatever reason, it reminds me of the Democrats demanding an FBI investigation that they were like, okay, fine, and like 3 days done on the Kavanaugh hearings. Meddling, it's like that's the word the Democrats have been using from the start, and it's like such a soft word. It's they were just messing around there.
Because we were like, I think on the left, people were not willing to full-throatedly be like, no, this shit fucking happened, and this is how bad it was. So meddling felt like a safe word to use
right.
that— No one could be like, what do you mean meddled?
Right.
Nobody meddled. If anything, they were tinkering around.
Right. They tinkered.
I think that's what it
They
like,
looked under the hood.
Yeah.
And, you know, touched a wire.
Yeah. And that's, it'll straight up be they fucking tried to destroy the democracy here.
This to me is like one of the trickiest things, because at what point as American citizens do we acknowledge our meddling
in other countries,
all of these other countries,
yeah.
and their elections, and getting leaders appointed, and things like that, and then taking down leaders that we don't find appropriate, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden we have one election where somebody from the outside probably actually was successful in their meddling,
right?
And now it's the craziest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
We
always think
it's really
about
tricky.
At what point do you begin to have a reckoning with the foreign policy of this country for the last, 100 years, essentially.
Right.
Being like, yeah, whatever you need. We can obscure things. You got socialists popping up? All right, here's some guns.
For newish listeners, the U.S. and the CIA in particular have been meddling with foreign elections and, in fact, basically swinging them for whatever candidate they wanted to win for a long time.
Yeah. When you think about all the instability in Central America and people like, well, what was going on with MS-13? It's like, do you know what we did to El Salvador? Like, read about Google U.S. involvement in fucking any country and something is going to pop up.
Right.
Or there's going to be some dark chapter where we helped with either arming people or trying to saddle, like, just get them in deep debt so they did whatever we needed to. That's just the history of this empire and how it would stretch its claws around the globe.
One point that the TV critic for, I think, the Baltimore Sun was making is that, you know, regardless of how you viewed the interview, ratings are the main thing that matters to Trump. Like, that's all he cares about. That's, he would constantly brag about the Apprentice's ratings when that show was on the air. And his ratings have apparently been falling on Fox News shows, like, to the point where they can no longer carry his interviews in full on Fox News. And so the loss of primetime coverage is, like, really bothering Trump. And in fact, he had to, like, at a recent rally, he called out the Fox News hosts who have primetime shows by name and was, like, kissing up to them because he's, like, so sad that they're not covering him as much anymore. God. So he's... His base is getting bored because he only says like five things on a rotation. So he decided to, well, I'm going to go to the left. And the mainstream media was there waiting. And I think that the mainstream media needs to do better and just come a little bit stronger. And sort of, it seemed like Leslie Stahl was prepared for a traditional politician interview. And, you know, she was interviewing a carnival barker, reality show.
I feel like there could have been an actual hog. Like, I don't want people, listeners, to like mistake like what I'm saying here. I'm not comparing in any way like the interview. I'm saying like Trump would give the same interview to like an animal sitting in a chair across from him.
Or inanimate.
Like, he's just going to say, exactly. Yeah. Or an inanimate, like a glass. Like, oh, yeah. They, you know, like he,
if sound
it doesn't
came out
matter.
Of the glass, he'd be like, okay, well,
yeah, it doesn't matter like what's being asked. He's going to say what he wants to say, and it doesn't matter. And you need someone to really kind of come in guns a-blazing on him. But unfortunately, that makes him walk out.
Right.
But still, I mean, you have to try to, I think.
Well, it's weird because Leslie Stahl seems to have a kind of unique relationship with him, too, where he's like, normally I feel like if it were any female journalist from like that was representing the mainstream, the non-Fox journalist, it would have been a total just argument or whatever and more talking over, where, you know, she even said like it seemed like he was enjoying the sparring and at times, like, I remember she was the one who. He sort of like showed his hand to her at one point where she's like, why do you always deny these stories or whatever? And he's like, because when I do, everybody believes it. And like he tells her just bluntly, like, why he's
like
lying.
She's like a Trump whisperer.
In a weird way. A but then Trump whisperer. Can also be like, come on, bro. What are you talking about? Like, you know, have this sort of rapport with the president. And then what's funny is the way like towards the end of the interview, she started pressing him about all the family separation policies and how bad that was. And it was starting to get – he was starting to bicker about it and obviously didn't like being linked to his own policies that are so fucked up. And then just gave her a total own when he just checked in with what his job was and what her job was. So listen to this fucking bomb.
I disagree, but I don't want to have that fight with you.
Hey, it's okay.
I would have another fight with you.
Leslie, it's okay. In the meantime, I'm president
and
you're not.
And we're having fun, right?
Oh my God. My dad's bigger than your dad.
My dad will beat your dad up. He's a cop. So we have guns at the house. I can bring one.
I wonder if that is part of the problem, is that he did the interview with her because she speaks to him like he's a real politician. And that's how she's coming at it. And it's almost like when you talk to a kid like the kid is an adult, they kind of like that and they try to act more like it. But the kid is ultimately a kid, and they're going to behave like a kid. But maybe that's where she gets her rapport, is she treats him like any other politician. And that's what you get when you treat Donald Trump like any other politician. You get, well, I'm the president, and you're not.
And you're not.
So fuck you.
I wish somebody would Photoshop Donald Trump's face onto John Cusack standing outside the window with the boombox on his in his hands in the rain, like just listing the names of the primetime Fox News. So, like when you said that he was listing them by names, I was like, how desperate is this plea? Exactly.
How good are these people, folks? Yeah. The Fox News hosts.
They're great.
Elizabeth Warren, just more evidence that we are all living in Trump's world now. Elizabeth Warren took a DNA test that proves her Native American ancestry. This is part of an ongoing story where, you know, she had contributed to an academic journal for minority students, and people were like, what is your claim to being a minority student? And she was like, well, my family has Native American ancestry. And Trump, ever since then, she didn't use it to get into any schools, which is part of a myth that exists out there. She didn't use it to get into any schools. She put it on like one journal. And ever since, he's called her Pocahontas.
Yeah.
And claimed that he would give $1 million to the charity of her choosing if she could ever prove that she actually had Native American ancestry.
Which is amazing. So, yeah, so you cut to... Well, first of all, I just think it's so fucking shitty, right, that Elizabeth Warren had to go to the point where she had to prove her ancestry to prove Trump's racist, basically. Right. Yeah.
He's like the James Randi of racism.
Yeah, right. It's like, prove me wrong. And it totally falls in line with his birther streak of just being like, you're not American, you're so-and-so, or you're not a blah, you're lying about being Native American or whatever. It's just his whole tactic or whatever. So I'm just glad that she actually got a legit, like a DNA analysis done by someone at Stanford, and it showed, 6 to 8 generations back, she did in fact have a Native American ancestor. Like you're saying, Jack, at a rally pretty recently, he said, hey, $1 million if you can prove it, to charity of your choice. I got $1 million straight up cash.
Right.
And then so they confronted him with this information. So let's hear on wax him using actual English words to say this out loud to people who heard it and put it in their memory, and his denial of it yesterday.
And we will say, I will give you $1 million.
Million.
To your favorite charity, paid for by Trump. If you take the test and it shows you're an Indian, you know. And let's see what she does, right?
This reaction to Senator Elizabeth Warren releasing the results of her DNA test.
No, I have no. Who cares?
Mr. President, you said you paid $1 million to charity.
I didn't say that. You better read it again.
Read what? This ain't a fucking contract. Read it again.
He's going all Ricky Henderson, like talking about himself in third person, like paid for it by Trump.
Yeah, right. Paid for it by Trump. Part of me, I will believe it, the fact that he doesn't remember because his brain is melting. So I could believe that. And I also could believe he doesn't want to remember because where the fuck is he going to get $1 million?
Right.
I don't think he has $1 million. I mean, I'm sure he could put it together through weird donations and stuff. He'll be like, send out a fundraising email. He's like, we have to show Pocahontas that Trump is a man of his word and pay $1 million. I'm counting on you, MAGA army. Well, I think also just the way he was like, and prove you're an Indian. It's like, oh, God.
An Indian.
And then what met the by cheers.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, because that's all the tactics they use. Just, you know, discredit and demean whoever has anything to say with an ounce of truth.
Update on this story. Elizabeth Warren, you know, named her charity, was like, hey, anyways, you said this, so this is where the $1 million goes, homie. And he responded that he would be glad to if he could administer the DNA test, which seems like...
What is he going to take it to do a polymerase chain reaction centrifuge process to fucking get her DNA?
Yeah. No, he would do that, actually. He's a very principled scientist.
I would love, though, if he was like, okay, we'll go to a lab and the scientist is going to walk me through it so I know I'm handling it the whole time. Okay, what do I do next?
Okay, administered by Trump.
Exactly. Here's I need a micropipette.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
And we're back. All right, guys, let's talk about your man, Julian Assange.
Whose man?
Your man.
Whose man is this?
Whose man is this?
Come get him. Come get your man's, Australia.
Apparently the worst couch surfer to have crashing at your place ever.
Yo, so there's a document that was leaked from the Ecuadorian embassy that was basically like a ultimatum for Julian Assange, sort of like, yo, we're going to have to curb your internet access unless you start fucking doing a couple things. Apparently, it started getting hot when the whole Catalonian secession thing was going on in Spain, and he was being real vocal about that, and just other just general things going on around the world. He was really cheerleading from the sidelines right. for things like that, and that was causing problems for Ecuador because other countries are looking at like, yo, you're housing this dude at your embassy. Like, what's going on? What's good? Right. So they're like, okay, we're going to have to take away your internet access for a little bit because we have to sort this out, and it's not good for Ecuador. So they gave him a list of things that they were really adamant that he needs to begin following through on. And these rules are fucking amazing.
So just real quick, Julian Assange is the founder of WikiLeaks, and he had to seek asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London because he was brought up on rape charges in Sweden.
Right, and they were trying to extradite him.
Yeah, they were trying to extradite him. So he's just like hiding out, basically.
That's where he's been this whole time. Whenever you see him, he's just basically been in this embassy cooped up.
Yeah.
And I guess they're starting to really get fucking like tired of this
Look,
shit.
Look, guests are like fish.
Yeah.
They go bad after 5 years or whatever.
Right.
The fact that this is one of two stories this week where it's like, yeah, embassies are basically like home base where you can just like do like rules are different or
right,
something.
Right.
And like you can, it's like international waters, like a little island of international waters in the middle of a city.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy. Anyways.
So they look in there and they're like, look, Julian, we got to talk, man, because you are messy as fuck. First is, please stop commenting on contentious political issues that can make shit hot for Ecuador, whether that's diplomatically or directly with Ecuador. So they're saying, you can talk, but don't start weighing in on shit and then thinking we're going to, like, you know, put our chests out to protect you.
And that's where I would expect the message to end.
Yeah, of course. It's like, that's it. And then we're fine. We don't mind housing you. Great.
Right.
Then it was like, look, bruh, starting December 1st this year, you got to start paying your motherfucking bills. Like, you got to start paying for some shit. Like, they're like, we can't pay for everything,
my man. What are they paying for?
I think his food and things like that. And I think apparently at
certain point. Oh, you got to get a job.
They're like, yo, exactly. They're like, you need a job, my guy. And let me tell you why I need a job. Because the next thing they're talking about, start taking care of your fucking cat. You are not taking care of your cat. They're like, you're doing the minimum. The hygiene is shitty. You're not grooming this cat. The cat is just fucking running around. Please take care of your motherfucking cat. Then the last one, clean your motherfucking bathroom.
No.
That's another thing on the list is please, the hygiene of the bathroom must be addressed and the bathroom must be cleaned regularly. I mean, I can imagine, I was a single man in college and I know what my bathroom got like at certain points. I mean, if you've been living in an embassy for years, I can only imagine what that happens to
you. Right. You're probably a little depressed. You're probably just letting shit slide.
Angry at the world. You're like literally letting shit slide.
Yeah. And now stepdad has to be like, look, I appreciate you. Me and your mother love you very much.
Hey, I love your mom. And I do this because I love your mom.
But like, you gotta take care of your pets.
I wonder what's going on with the pet. That they had to, like, articulate that in this document, this agreement.
Right.
I'm going to guess it's a litter issue, probably.
Yeah.
He's probably not taking care of the litter box.
And then I wonder if he just thinks, it's like a hotel. And he's like, well, why don't you take care of it? He's like, I'm not cleaning the bathroom.
It's like, we already take care of you not being arrested.
Yeah, right.
Like, how's this? We'll work on you not getting arrested. You clean up after your fucking cat.
Oh, the cost that he has to be in pocketing up for is his food, laundry, and any other costs relating to his stay.
Oh, my God. He really is treating this like he's living with his mom and he ain't got to do nothing.
Well, because, these are the ultimatums you hear from a parent who's tired of their parasitic child.
Right.
Of, like, you don't clean your bathroom. I get that times are tough and you graduated college in 2008 and the economy's terrible. But you've been here for 10 years. Your cat's running amok. Your friends come over, get high all day, making the place a mess. And also, I'm not paying for your food.
Yeah, the next thing is definitely going to be like, you also have to pay for your own Xbox Live.
Right.
Like, we're not.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Stop using our Netflix account.
Yeah. It's messing up my algorithm and suggesting shows I have no interest in.
We made you your own profile, Julian.
Yeah. Right. Is it that easy to hit left and then select when you launch Netflix? No.
But he's not bringing in any paychecks, is he? Like, what's he getting paid for? Is WikiLeaks an ad-supported business or anything? Like, it's not a thing that he charges people
money
for.
Sure, the Russians will slide him a couple of dollars or something. He can just do a GoFundMe. Enough people, like, staying for WikiLeaks that I'm sure he could find a way to pay for his own laundry.
Right, you better pick up a room or a broom and start offering to clean stuff.
Another thing they're saying, he must have quarterly medical checkups, and he has to pay for those, too. They're like, you need to take care of yourself, too.
Wow.
I feel like that is a very shady way of being like, look, all this stuff is probably going to get leaked. We ain't going to tell folks you don't take a shower.
Right.
right.
But we are going to tell you that you have to go to a doctor. And whether or not you choose to shower before that checkup is up to you.
It will be heavily implied that you smell like
that
shit.
You're the stinky kid at the embassy.
We're just worried about your health because we assume that you shower like an adult.
Yeah.
So it must be something happening health-wise.
Could you imagine it ends up like that? What was that story from a couple months ago? That dude in upstate New York who was like 30 or 31 and he was like suing his parents.
Oh, Michael something.
Yeah, like his parents were going to evict him and then he represented himself in court to be like, nah, my honor, this is bullshit.
I'm working on my app.
Yeah, right. He's like, I can't get a job in 6 months. Are you crazy?
Right.
Like that eventually Julian Assange is going to have some like weird magistrate court in the UK.
Right.
Or I don't know. They would probably govern that in Ecuadorian lobby court, whatever they do over there in the embassy.
Julian's like Lawrence on the couch. It's going to be like Julian Hive on TV.
I know. I was just
hey, yo, get that man a blue Best Buy shirt.
Working on my app. Let's move on to our second embassy story of the day.
Yeah, the darker one.
The darkest one in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey and the story about Jamal Khashoggi, because we're getting now more details. We still, the audio hasn't been released widely, and hopefully it is not. But yeah. Now the New York Times is reporting that, you know, it's been confirmed. You can hear him. Basically, they attack him the second he gets in, begin beating and torturing him. They cut off his fingers. Then, you know, they basically dismember him while he's still alive. And you hear one of the people say, hey, I find that it helps to listen to music while you do this.
Jesus.
Yeah. To someone outside the room or in the room?
No, to the other people dismembering him.
Yikes.
With him. Like, hey, when we dismember political dissidents, I find it helps to listen to music.
Just... Yeah, I listen to POD.
Right.
yeah, this whole thing is just gets darker by the second. And, you know, we touched on it yesterday because Mike Pompeo went to Riyadh to try and get some answers, quote unquote, from Mohammed bin Salman. That wasn't going to happen because in the photo, they were just like, hee, 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 yes, we're friends.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Mike Pompeo was like, look, I don't want to talk about facts. And the journalist was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the Saudis really didn't either when I asked about the disappearance. And then he's like, that's because they want to do their own thorough investigation into what really went down.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're meant to believe that they don't know that they, I mean, I guess for the optics, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, I don't know what happened. Yeah, we're going to have to get down on that. But I'm sure them investigating themselves will render the truth. I doubt that. But it gets more complicated because, like you're saying, Jack, like those tapes and stuff come from the Turkish government.
Right.
Because they were the ones who like had sources in there to be able to get this intelligence or whatever. And the more, you know, Mike Pompeo and Trump and Mohammed bin Salman are like, yeah, I don't know. This is, we got to look into this. Like, you know, what are we going to do? And then Turkey always being like, what about this tape?
Right.
And we have this evidence. And it comes out and it just makes it harder and harder to buy the Saudi Arabian version of events. Because, yeah, then the details just get more and more gruesome.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And one thing super producer Nick Stumpf was pointing out is that Khashoggi had spoken to somebody and said that he initially was basically told to shut the fuck up by MBS Mohammed bin Salman, like after he said something negative about Trump.
Mm.
So it's, you know, and Trump is homies with MBS, and I don't know. It's not proof that Trump ordered the hit, but it's just very, I don't know. It's almost like there's no bottom to how bad this administration goes.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and then not to mention that, like, the second, like, right after Mike Pompeo arrives in Riyadh, $100 million comes into U.S. accounts from Saudi Arabia to help fight in Syria, because Trump's been complaining about how nobody wants to pitch in on needless military excursions and things like that. But, like, the State Department is like, well, you know, this isn't a tit-for-tat kind of thing, because Mohammed bin Salman actually committed this money back in August. But everyone who was around that was saying, like, the details were never really ironed out as to how the payments would get there and when and what the timeline was. So it's amazing that the second he pulls up, $100 million comes in the account, and then you have Trump in, like, the White House saying, well, hold on, let's not Brett Kavanaugh this guy quite yet. You know, we need to find out the truth first.
Mm.
And now we're getting, like, defenses from the, you know, American government, or at least buying the Saudis time to figure out what their next move is going to be in terms of explaining this. Because it's, yeah, it just gets darker and darker and darker, and more other governments are just like, yo, we told y'all, and other people had there seemed to be a lot of intelligence around this too. And even Jamal Khashoggi himself was like, everybody told him, like, yo, don't go in there.
Mm. Oh, did they?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people were very worried. They're like, if you go in there, like, don't be foolish, man. Like, you know that you are a threat to Mohammed bin Salman, and walking into the Saudi consulate could be a fucking disastrous step. And tell everybody, like, do whatever you have to do to protect yourself so you don't just, no one knows that you don't have this appointment. Because, yeah, he was lured in there and he was murdered.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Khashoggi had, like, given a speech in Jeddah where he'd given a foreign policy talk lightly critical of then-President-elect Trump. And then MBS's media advisor basically reached out and said, you're not allowed to tweet or write your column or give comments to foreign journalists.
Oof.
The GOP, the grand old party is what that stands for, the Republicans, seem to be, I guess you can't say they're shifting focus, but they're definitely sharpening their focus.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to how they are, you know, portraying these midterms and their opponents.
If the midterms are like a Fast and Furious drag race, they basically hit the Nas tanks of racism to try and get to the fucking finish line right now, because it's fucking wild.
See,
right
now this is content I can relate to.
Yes, here we go. Yeah, from my Fast and Furious people out there, don't blow your fucking canisters quick. But yeah, the rhetoric is just, I mean, we always saw since Trump, it's always been pretty racist and xenophobic, but now like it's hitting every mark. So there are ads even coming out now with George Soros looking like some, like, it's the most anti-Semitic shit, where he's like some master of puppets and he's like behind Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, or like just people who want health care and stuff, and he's like just throwing money at shit, which is a very odd thing. He's forever will be the GOP's boogeyman, I guess.
Yeah.
And then like Matt Gaetz, who's a congressman in Florida, I mean, he's also getting on this. He like tweeted some video of like these people in Honduras who were receiving like small amounts of cash. But he was saying, like, is this George Soros giving immigrants money to charge the border? And it's like, yeah, because they...
No.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's like, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because, yes, all these people are just want a couple bucks before they endure the grueling journey on foot to go to the border to better their lives. But there's no reason he would do that. Or maybe it's because the Hurricane Michael response in his district has been laughable. You know, like, everyone, you're starting to see, like, to me, it seems like... They're starting to get real about what these midterms are looking like. And they're like, okay, should we just pull out all the fucking stops now? Like, just do whatever at this point, because our backs are against the wall. And that's what it reeks of, because it's getting more, like, even aggressive. There was someone who was up for, like, I forget what kind of county board position in North Carolina. He, like, suggested that, like, if you vote for Democrats, they want to make pedophilia legal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, it's standard shit.
I'm just saying we need to relook at.
Yeah. Let's just make sure we're on the same page here about what it is.
Just checking in.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's all we're saying. Yeah. And then on Thursday morning, Trump got on Twitter and was going full race war on his old phone and just putting out this thing of, I'll just read the tweet. I am watching the Democratic Party led, and then in parentheses, because they want open borders and existing weak laws, assault on our country by Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, whose leaders are doing little to stop the large flow of people, including many criminals, from entering Mexico to the U.S. And just sort of going on this idea that, like, essentially Democrats are leading immigrants by the hand to the border, which he had to explain because the logic of it is wild. And then going on to say, like, if they don't do anything about it, then he might have to send the military to shut down the southern border, and he'll blow up any trade deals we have with Mexico. And again, this is, I think, just to drum up some kind of, you know, xenophobic fear of, like, whoa, look at, they're coming for the borders. And Fox was so willing to just, you know, go full tilt on this
they're
messaging.
Like, sounds like there's a problem.
Yeah. They're like, all right, what's the play? Okay, yeah. Democrats are leading a Gint mob to the border. That's immigrant mob from Mo from The Simpsons. Anyway, these are two Fox News clips where you're seeing them really underscore this point that the Democrats are actually the ones who are behind, I guess, migration. I don't know.
The Scaravent issue lays at the feet of the Democratic Party up on the Hill. Like I said, they've been educated what these loopholes are, but they don't want to close the loopholes. They want this president to have a fail on this issue. But I hope the American people are paying attention, because this isn't the president's failure. This isn't the secretary's failure. This is the Democrats' failure, because they know the issue and they refuse to fix it. They're putting their political ambitions ahead of public safety, national security, and border control. Simple as that.
Why would it be the Democrats' fault when they have
no
the
power?
Republicans have all the power.
They
in
have
the government?
Zero. That's insane.
And he doesn't even, he can't even say failure, right?
Yeah.
That's Thomas Homan, who was the head of ICE.
Got it.
Who is, you know, America's number one racist. And then there's another one, again, had to come in and underline this fact, this time from a pundit with a Hispanic last name. So maybe that will give some credence to this point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going to continue to see these caravans of people because we have politicians like Nancy Pelosi who encourage them to keep making this trek.
Uh-huh. So Nancy Pelosi is encouraging people because they're saying, I don't know, we just want what's fair for people, or the fact that they oppose a law that just like brutally separates families and like gives them this really awful like option to like, you guys can go to jail together or you can split your kids up and then maybe you can get your kid back. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want to do?
This is similar to a story that was happening maybe a couple months ago where they were talking about a, quote, caravan of people who are making their way to the United States border.
Right.
And then that just totally fizzled out. And then now they're just doing it again every time. It's like, it reminds me of like in the 80s, there was always stories about like these waves of killer bees that were coming towards the Mexico border that were going to invade the United States.
Yeah.
Like it's just whenever there's a slow news day or whenever they need to get their, you know.
Remember they were African killer bees for
right.
a while?
Yeah.
That was, yeah. Was, yeah.
And then that inspired Wu-Tang to bring out that killer bees out.
On a swarm. Mm-hmm.
It does remind me because the Democrats have no power. So it's so funny for them to be like, these damn Democrats. So I was going to say, it's like when you, it's like you just robbed a store or a bank and your dog is chained to a tree outside. And you're like, I think the dog took all the money out of that place.
Right, right. Pretty sure. You should probably look at him. I don't know. This is my money actually from before, from a different robbery. Yeah. And I think, again, like you're saying, Jack, like they're running out of rhetorical points to actually convince someone to vote Republican that they're not just being like, all right, let's just go after like the full-on racist base and just try and turn them out as much as possible. Because there's nothing really convincing about this unless you are – like you respond to this fear-mongering shit. And it's just like that old barbarians at the gate argument that has been used for centuries now. It's like the oldest shit in the book.
And can I just say, there are plenty of monstrous people in this world, but Mexicans aren't one of them. They are wonderful people.
The people like Tom Homan, who looks like a guy who would scam you outside of a carnival to change your tire.
Right.
It's like, that's who we need to avoid.
I know.
But I saw you shoot my tire out.
No. That's a failure on the tire. You know, it's, like, what the hell?
All these people complaining about this stuff, too, love a Mexican restaurant. I mean, just they want to wear the hat. They want the happy birthday song. They want the whole thing.
Yeah. You know? Which is funny.
Even when it's not their birthday.
I know. Yeah. Well, I guarantee you Republicans are leading, and it's not actually my birthday, but I'm going to say it is, in a restaurant to get free whatever.
That's the mentality of a Republican
yes,
in general.
Absolutely.
Or they're like, hey, honey, I'm going to propose to you. Take your ring off. Take your fucking ring off. I'm going to propose to you. And we're gonna get this fucking meal for free, right?
And then I'm gonna sing, "I Can Show You the World."
Also, you say I'm a vet. I'm an army vet too.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's always them doing the false valor shit.
It's the lack of moral scruples would suggest that would be the restaurant tactic of some of these people.
The other strategy they're employing is just outright voter suppression.
Yeah.
So they're
that one's way worse.
Yeah. So I mean, it seems like it's effective.
Yeah. I read something even scarier recently or yesterday, which is that as they are getting closer to the midterms and they realize how bad their platform has been since Trump, like for regular people, they're actually starting to co-opt Democratic ideals and say that that's what they're going to do when they get in office, just to get votes, because they can't go up there and be like, we're literally taking away all your health care and giving all these corporations money. So they're like, you know what? They're just trying to find ways to reword what the Democratic platform is so that they don't look like the monsters that they are, you know? And that's even scarier, because that's not fair. If you're going to be a monster, be a damn monster.
Exactly. You know? Just go full monsty.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Georgia is one of those states where that has like a Secretary of State running for office simultaneously while they're in office holding the position of like vote master of a state and then also running a campaign. And in Georgia, we've talked about this before, Brian Kemp, who's the Secretary of State. Like, I think last week we talked about the number of registrations that were just put on ice because of their exact match law, which disproportionately affects voters of color. And then earlier this week, there was a group of about 40 black senior citizens who got on a bus to take them to do early voting by like this group called Black Votes Matter. It's a nonpartisan group. They're not there to tell these people how to vote. They're just like, we'll give you a ride to the to the polls. You're at a senior center. It's probably like, this is, we'll make it easy. But somehow that bus just got stopped and they pulled all the people off the bus. And like the reasoning was really, really whack. They were just sort of saying like, at first they thought that the senior center was like, they considered the activity political activity, even though there was no mention of a party. But that would be a reason why they could interfere with it. Because,
really?
Yeah, because like certain nonprofit groups, they can't actually put their flag in a party or either side. They can't be partisan.
So they'll
just be like,
okay, gotcha.
We're here to advocate just for voter participation.
We'll
never say vote Democrat or vote Republican. And so they were like, oh, this is probably what's going on. They're like, absolutely not. There's nothing to suggest that they were doing it. The only thing was that because a Democratic Party chairwoman helped to organize it, they were trying to use that fact to do it, although there was no evidence that anything untoward was happening at all. So they were like, hey, we got to get off the bus. Look, we can take you back to the center. We can get you to vote. And it was just a really transparent act of just voter intimidation.
Yeah.
But like, luckily for these elderly people, sadly, actually not luckily, sadly, this wasn't the first time someone has probably tried to stop them from voting. And they were very resolute. They're like, no, we'll be back. But
right.
This was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear what the fuck was going
on. Oh, so they knew what was going on.
I mean, once they were like, what is this? What do you mean? Like, they're just taking us to vote. And because it's a bus that says like Black Voters Matter, that you're going to be like, hold on, what's going on here? Because I think there's Stacey Abrams votes and not Brian Kemp votes.
Right. This seems like just overall the sort of projection we've been talking about, where it's like they claim voter fraud. That is one of their issues. And then meanwhile, they're like, that just seems like the move for Republicans is yelling and pointing at the other side, accusing them of doing the thing that the Republicans are actually doing.
Well, like, right, because they're saying we can't win over voters of color with our racist rhetoric, so they're cheating by appealing to more people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or something it's really what's going on.
Yeah. It's like you get caught sleeping with your wife's sister and then in the middle of it, and she's like, I can't believe you're doing that. And you're like, you're sleeping with my brother right now. And she's like, you don't have a brother. And like, exactly. You always.
But you would.
Yeah, you would. Also, you're not very family oriented when you talk to me like
And then you blame it on the dog.
Yeah,
100%. And also the dog robbed the bank. Also.
Right.
But it's just the one thing, though, that is great is that with these midterms, a lot of secretaries of states are on ballots. And that's one way to really curb voter suppression, because a lot of Republicans are holding these secretary of state seats. And that's another reason why everybody has to go and vote in these midterms. Don't just vote on the big ticket people. Really look at your ballot and understand if your secretary of state or whatever office is running the elections in your state are people who are regularly purging voter rolls or engaging in that kind of right-wing fuckery that is meant to disenfranchise people and exercising their constitutional right.
Wait, how is that keeping them from doing voter suppression?
Because you can vote now, we can vote in new secretaries of state.
Oh,
so, like,
right.
If you in a state, like, for example, if Chris Kobach was still secretary of state and not running for governor, now would be a perfect time to boot someone like him the fuck out.
Right, right.
Because we need to get these caravans back in this country.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know
exactly.
I mean?
Well, that's the other thing. They claim that there's like some shadowy billionaire behind the scenes paying people to like do the liberal agenda when it's like
the
they
brothers.
Are run by the Koch brothers.
It's Sheldon Adelson,
right,
who is the murky dude
they
who's
are
actually
the,
throwing money at everything.
They're the party of shadowy billionaires, and they have invented one whose name is way more recognizable.
I feel like an idiot. I still don't even know who George Soros is. I've heard his name 1,000 billion
times. A wealthy
times.
Currency speculator who became very wealthy and is a philanthropist, but they've used him being Jewish to like just start all kinds of shit in Eastern
That's
Europe.
It?
And he was giving a lot of money to like left-wing causes. So they're like, oh, let's always use him as the boogeyman.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
And we're back. Another thing that can give us power, another animal that can give us power to get through dark and depressing
transition
times.
I love it.
Squirrels, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, emotional support animals, I understand. I get it. I understand the benefit of a ESA. But this story is very interesting to me because last week there was a woman who was on a Frontier Airlines flight from Orlando to Cleveland. Okay. I already know enough.
Where America's two greatest cities.
Two greatest cities. They are, actually.
I love Cleveland.
Love Cleveland. Loved Orlando. Love Penny Hardaway. I don't know why I'm talking like Trump. But essentially, she told the airline, she's like, hey, I'm bringing an emotional support animal on. And they're like, okay, fine. That's fine. We allow emotional support animals on. She pulls up to the airport with not a dog or a cat, but a motherfucking squirrel, an emotional support squirrel. So when she got on the plane and they saw it, they're like, oh, hold up. You can't bring this on. She's like, why? Like, oh, we have an actual policy of like no rodents on this plane. So I'm sorry, you may have to find another way to get your squirrel to your destination. And she was not having it. Made a huge scene. Was like, well, you have to, like, I'm not getting off. Me and this squirrel are going to Cleveland. And so they had to clear the plane, and the police had to remove the woman because I think, I don't know if it was because they were like trying to, like, it's like, hey, no one can shoot a camera phone while we like rough up this squirrel owner or something.
Right.
Anyway, and then the flight took off 2 hours later. I just really like this story because I like the idea of a person with their emotional support squirrel who is so ride or die about their squirrel. And they're like, I'm sorry, this is my squirrel.
Mm.
And I think a squirrel would be a cool pet if you could get it to like not shit everywhere. I had a friend who found like a young baby squirrel that was like abandoned in his yard. And it was like so in need of food, and he like nursed it to health. And like he had it for like 4 months, but the thing was wild, just jump around his house and then just shit on you.
Oh, interesting.
And it was a terrible pet. But like the little squirrel was very comfortable around humans. And then I was like, have you taken this to a vet or anything? Make sure it's not rabid. He's like, nah. I was like, I gotta go, my man. This is not the place for me.
How does that story end? He tried to get it onto an airplane?
Yo, the squirrel died.
Oh,
because like it went outside or something and it was too cold one night or something. It was a really weird story. It could have been a cover-up.
Yeah.
But that reminds me of yesterday when we were at lunch. Anna Hosnier was talking about how like a lot of the rich Saudis like to pal around with emotional support falcons on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And then she showed us that photo of like the dude bought out a flight and like there were 50 falcons on the plane with their little leather... mask on so they don't wild out.
That's the sort of shit you learn from super producer Ana Hosnier's podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, is that falcons are the dogs of the Middle East.
Like the flex pet.
Yeah.
Like, how many falcons you got?
Right, exactly.
How quickly can it catch a hare?
Right, yeah. Also, falconry is dope. We interviewed a falconer back in the day at Cracked, and they talk about like their hobby as just being like going hunting, but with a living like gun that
right.
like, you've trained to like do the hunting.
Actually,
for you.
Yeah, you probably feel like Aquaman or some shit, or Birdman who has command of the birds.
Yeah,
who was not a man who was bitten by a radioactive
aqua.
Bird.
Right.
Bitten by radioactive aqua. One of the members of the dance group Aqua who did Barbie
famous
Girl.
Famous for Barbie
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah, was not bitten by them to turn into Aquaman. Although I would watch a weird cartoon based on that.
So wait, what are the laws? Doesn't, like, with emotional support animals, don't things have to, like, honor people with animals like that to be able to, or no?
I think it depends on the state. I know, like, okay. In California, right, if you have a emotional support pet, and they're like, oh, we have a no pets policy. I think you can argue that, like, you should be able to rent the unit. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know about renters' rights.
Right.
But I do know that falcons need passports.
Right.
According to a Geneva Convention.
I think the reason the squirrel part of it seems so weird is because, like, I don't think there's any, like, pet store where you can buy a squirrel.
No.
Right? Like, squirrels.
No, I'd imagine.
She trapped that thing.
Yeah, unless, like, you know, it's like someone has, like, a squirrel business at the back of their house where they've been domesticating them. Like, hey, you know, if you want a squirrel, you go over to Roger's house.
Right.
He's got him on deck for like $5.
I think they should have has to be purchasable at a standard pet store to be considered an emotional support animal.
Well, then you could buy a rat at a pet store.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't have a problem with a rat because people have pet rats and like,
but they have a no rodent policy. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's
how do they reconcile
it? I think their policy needs to be adapted to just like trainable animals. Like,
yeah, be more inclusive.
If you have a wacky pet, be like, can it do tricks?
Right.
And if it can, you're like, all right.
Yeah,
the squirrel's not just
going
to run wild and shit. Like, it clearly understands basic commands.
Right. And like, I don't want them to be able to bring emotional support snakes on, but
on
that's
the
just
motherfucking
because
plane?
I don't like snake
motherfucking
people.
Snakes.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, snake people. I like you guys. All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States
In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.